Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, also brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. Now, before next book coming up in a few minutes is Against Our Will, Sexual Trauma in American Art Since 1970. And I'm happy to say Dr. Vivian Greenfried is in the green room from Ventville, and she's going to be with us here in the studio in just a few minutes. But right now, we're getting our news from the community. You know, I always go straight and directly to the community to get the latest, and the community might be down the street or it might be across the country. It depends on how you think of community. But this day, this lovely day, I didn't have to go far at all down to the campus of Tennessee State University. And CN Wilson is here, and it is so good to see you.
It is good to see you.
I see you on Facebook, but in person, you know, this it does.
I hear you every day, but I'm glad to see you in person.
Well, see, that raised up the value in you. You said every day.
Every
praise
day.
The Lord. You doing okay?
I'm doing great.
It is good to see you for real.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard you just had a birthday.
Had a birthday Monday.
And it turned out just beautiful for you.
It was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I just am thankful to be alive.
That's your fan club.
thank you. Oh, you know, I celebrate 31 days. I celebrate from March 1st to March 31st.
Do you?
I do.
I know other people that do that, and I just get tired. You know, I'm just like, okay, enough. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of activities you got to plan, isn't it?
Every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just, you know, ice cream or going to see a movie.
Nothing where you have to spend a lot of money.
Not a lot.
Amen.
But I'm excited because, you know, coming from Tennessee State University, I was excited to honor you as one of the honorees for Women of Legend and Merit, and you're still a legend as far as I'm concerned.
You're so good. That was 2015. And that, I mean, that was it. When the women said, oh, amen, and I was like, oh, Lord, this, you know, this is it, Lord.
And Taraji was there.
Yes, she was. Exciting. That was extremely exciting. And I'm deeply, deeply honored. And you all have this beautiful event, the Women of Legend. This is the 12th. And it is so good when the women say, excuse me, ma'am, but you are worthy.
Yes.
And that means so much to other women.
Yes.
And so I applaud all of you there at the university that work on this event. And I know this is your baby, and you work hard on it and to pull it off and to make sure that it becomes successful for the university 12 years later, and it's still
going for it.
That's wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful.
We're excited about the opportunity to do this, and I thank Dr. Glenda Glover, our president, who allows me free reign pretty much. You know, I always check in to make sure she approves, but just excited that our leader is about women's empowerment.
Oh, yes.
And this is also Women's History Month. So we want to celebrate not just these ladies, but the ladies throughout Nashville, the community, and even on the national level. We celebrate women.
Now, we've got a couple of weeks to go, so the folks have time to buy their tickets.
Yes, ma'am.
And this is a benefit for TSU,
it
right?
It is.
Talk about that.
So the Women of Legend and Merit is an awards dinner that gives scholarship towards the young ladies at the university. And I shouldn't say just young ladies, but it also offers scholarships to young men
mm-hmm.
who might need opportunities
really?
As well. Yes. I have several young men, over 100, when I say several, that participate with the Women's Center
really?
Events.
Over 100?
Well, you know, they follow the women. So men follow if the women are there, the men are going to be there.
And rightly so.
Yes, so we're excited about that, but just excited to empower women to be great in their own careers and to be serious about their studies academically. And sometimes you need a little money when you come to college.
You better have some when you come, okay?
They might need books, you know, whatever it is that they need, a meal plan. So we want to make sure that our students
so good.
Eat.
Boy, that's where the rubber hits the road.
Yes.
Because if they're hungry,
they can't function
properly. Oh, my God. You imagine as a grown person how you feel if you're hungry.
Correct.
Can't get anything done. They can't concentrate on their schoolwork.
That's right.
They have a lot. That's basic.
Yes.
What you're talking about is basic.
That's right.
So, this is, there's multiple levels to this event because, yes, you're honoring the women, but the students and the generations of students who you've helped over 12 years,
yes, ma'am.
That's beautiful.
And
it
we
really
want
is.
To make sure that they graduate.
Yeah.
It's one thing to start something, but it's very hard to finish it.
That's true.
With purpose.
So that's true.
The purpose of the Women's Center is to make sure that women have what they need on campus.
Amen.
And off campus.
Yeah. And have you gotten any feedback over the years and them come back after they've graduated? And
yes, all the time.
Good.
Especially during homecoming for Tennessee State.
Okay.
A lot of them will come back as alums and they're excited. I have one young lady, Kayla Jackson. She just graduated in December and obtained a position with Lockheed Martin.
Oh, wow.
And she since reached back and just said, thank you so much for all of your support and for just being there as a mom and auntie. You know, we have many different hats.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
So it's always great when they can come back and say, you impacted my life.
Yeah. And, you know, one hat that I tell my students, I'm not trying to be your best friend, so you do not get to call me Sharon.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
So, boom on that one.
That's right.
They look at me like, oh, okay. I tell them.
Yes.
So they're clear.
Well, their parents sometimes and grandparents allow them to call them by their first name, and I had the same. I had a young man come in, and he said, C-Ann, and I did not acknowledge him until
he said,
Miss C-Ann.
Right.
Well, then another young man, he came in, and he said, Grandma. I said, no, I'm too young for Grandma. You can call me Miss C-Ann, Miss Wilson,
right.
Or you can call me Auntie,
yes.
But not Grandma, not yet.
Okay. Since I have a tribe. A tribe is Cherokee. They call me Granny, and I have no problem with it. But the students, I just tell them what to say. I say, call me Miss K. And so it's clear on the front end. And I think if we're clear on the front end with people, there's
then
no confusion.
Any issues.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so as you are preparing for this major event for the Women of Legend and Merit Awards dinner on March the 19th, there are five women in the community who will receive the honor. Who are they?
They are in business, in the category of business. We have Veronica Mirabel Johnson with the Nashville Area Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
And each of these women is outstanding in their own right.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have on the Tennessee State University campus, Dr. Robbie Melton.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman is genius. The things that she teaches us regarding technology.
Mm-hmm.
She's a technological guru.
Okay.
So Dr. Robbie Melton at Tennessee State University. In the field of government, we have Mrs. Karen Johnson, Metro Government.
Mm-hmm.
And she is now the Register of Deeds.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm. She's Register of Deeds. Fabulous, fabulous, and so sweet. And then in the legal field, we have Cynthia Fitzgerald, Cynthia Fitzgerald Law Offices. And she and her husband, Mr. Maurice Fitzgerald, they have another company that they work together to, and they work with young men. So it is just so awe-inspiring to see all of these women, you know, doing great things.
Yes.
Not just me at Tennessee State and you here at Fisk, but there are other women leaders that are doing great things in the city. And then, of course, in religion, we have Reverend Dr. Judy Cummings from New Covenant Christian Church.
Yes.
And the majority of these, not all, but many of them are Tennessee State University alums.
Okay.
And I would be remiss if
they're alums.
Oh, yes.
They're good.
Tennessee State.
Yes.
TS. So you don't know, it's not listed on this little piece of paper, but we are also honoring as the woman of strength, courage, and commitment.
Mm.
Attorney Joy Kimbrough.
Oh, clearly.
Yes,
she wears that well.
Yes, ma'am. Fabulous. Yes, fabulous in her own
she
right.
She wears that well.
So we encourage the city of Nashville to just wrap their arms around these ladies and let's celebrate them. And at my church, Greater Original Christ Temple Church, we sing a song, Give Me My Flowers While I Yet Live.
That's right.
So that I can see the beauty that they bring.
Yes.
A lot of times you don't get your flowers until you're laid out horizontal.
Yeah.
But I can't see the flowers if I'm gone.
That's true.
I would like to know that you love me right now while I can appreciate that.
C.S. Mail, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. You're right. Now, you always have a wonderful and arousing speaker for this beautiful dinner. Who is this year's special speaker?
None other than the renowned Angela Rye, who is a political commentator and analyst.
Mm-hmm.
She's from the city where she was born in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And we're excited that she, Seattle, is the city, but she's now rip-rousing in the political arena. And we know right now with the times
she's a commentator on CNN,
CNN, okay. And she's also been on BET.
Mm-hmm.
She won Washington, D.C.'s Most Influential People, Marie Claire. She's been in the magazine.
Uh-huh.
She's also been on a couple of television shows as well, but she's a part of the Congressional Black Caucus Institute. And then she has her own company, Impact. And that then is where the Women's Center, we took that strategically. Our theme is Tennessee State University. Are we economically empowered, civically engaged, and politically involved?
Mm.
Which is her mantra. But just wanting to put that out to Tennessee State, to other HBCUs, and just to people in general, what are we doing economically, civically, and politically?
Mm-hmm.
And we know we're about to go back and vote for our, the offices will be open again, and we'll have to make that decision. Will our current leader remain in office, or will someone else stand
Help
up
us,
and make an impact?
Right, there you go.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Impact Strategies, they've been on my show before to do, you know, for me to get some information on some things specifically they were working on. So they're very active
in
the grassroots and community-based issues. So I'm not surprised that she would be the CEO of the organization. And knows her stuff.
She knows her stuff.
Certainly.
She's in your face now.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people can't handle that, but I'm excited. I'm loving it. And so we're going to have a conversation with Miss Angela Rye, and there will be an opportunity for those that who are attending to ask questions.
Oh, really?
Yes, ma'am. Doing something a little different this year.
Okay, so I bet there'll be no discussion of politics. I'm just kidding.
You
know,
you can't mix dinner and
yes, you can.
Or can you?
Depends on who you're talking
That's
to.
That's right.
Well, it will be lively for sure.
Indeed.
Now, where will this be held?
It will be at Tennessee State University in the Keene Hall Auditorium.
Okay.
And we just love to go in there and make that room look fabulous. Mm-hmm. We're used to going in there for basketball games mm-hmm. and volleyball, but it will be an evening of elegance.
Oh.
And we have a beautiful meal prepared for everyone, and we even thought about those who are vegan, you know, have some awesome options for people.
Certainly.
And then, of course, the entertainment. We have students who will be entertaining.
Okay.
And last year we had Rod Magaha, and I know you
Did
know
you?
Who
oh,
he
certainly.
Is.
Certainly. Yes. Absolutely. His daughter's a Fisk alum.
Oh, that's right.
He
that's
said
right.
He told me.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes, I know you had, that was excellent.
We had a great time with Rod and his band on last year.
Yeah.
And of course, Angela Winbush was there as well.
Wonderful.
And so we are looking forward to, this year it's about the students. We even have students who are introducing the varying honorees.
So who's going to, you're going to have the jazz band from?
The jazz band.
Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
I love jazz.
Now, let me say this, and this is off the subject, but speaking of jazz in Tennessee State. Now, you might think of her in the future. One of your alum, Miss
Jasmine Gent.
Gent. She is so... That young lady...
I follow her.
Has just you know.
She's amazing.
I mean, just, she's going to be Artist of the Week again coming up. But her, that trajectory that she is on.
Have you seen who she's working with? I just was in awe. Bonnie James. And,
I know more. I'm closer to the story than you know, okay? I got the inside track on some stuff.
She's everywhere.
Yes. And it was because of the concentrated effort of Family Team.
Mm.
And her education prepared her for that.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
Because that young lady's timing was good.
Mm-hmm.
And having said that, she would be good, like, in the future music.
She would.
For y'all's...
For the music part of it.
Yes.
I follow her on Facebook and Instagram, and she's just a beautiful young
lady.
Yes,
ma'am.
On the inside as well as on the outside.
Yes, absolutely.
And I said something to her. She responded back.
Yes.
And just busy traveling and at all the different
jazz. Well, she's a teacher now.
Yes.
So,
but I just love her.
Yes.
And thank you for that. I will definitely make sure we consider.
I think it will be, since it's the women of, you know.
But then I have something for you. I think we should consider her for your jazz festival that you have, that amazing festival downtown.
Yeah, we already have a lineup set.
Oh, but maybe next year or the year after.
Well,
I could just listen to her all day.
I know. And she's like on all the big cruises now and all the big events.
Yes.
That would be, you know, something that we could talk about after this 19, because we'll be looking at lineup for, you know. And I always like to have some females in there.
Oh, definitely.
You know.
Definitely.
So, in her timing, that's what I'm trying to say.
The timing, yes.
Because there's not a lot of women that take to the stage, you know, and the instruments.
Saxophone.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's strong.
She is, very.
Ooh.
With her little bitty self.
Yeah, she's strong on that horn.
So, I brought you my book. This is for you.
Girl, you just got everything going on.
Oh, I do. My first book, Overcoming Me.
Okay.
And then my second book will be out this month, Overcoming You. And so, you know, wearing many hats these days. I just wanted you to have a copy.
Thank you.
I've been meaning to bring it by.
Did you sign mine?
I will do so.
Okay. It's not mine unless you have my name.
And that's right.
So it goes in my personal collection.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate it. And hopefully you'll come back and be with us for Women of Legend and Merit. We'd love to have you, too.
Well, one of these times up, you're going to be, you know, like when I stroll in somewhere, everybody's like, well, you said that. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm here.
We would love it.
I know, because I enjoyed it last time. And the ladies were just looking so good. I was like, man, y'all be cleaning up in Nashville. You folks in this city, y'all know how to dress. Ain't no joke about Nashville. Anyway, CN, for tickets and more information, what must the people do?
So they should contact the Tennessee State University Foundation.
Uh-huh.
And their phone number is area code 615-963-5481.
Okay.
Or they can go to Tennessee State University's website, to Women of Legend and Merit, which is on the Women's Center website, and purchase tickets.
Excellent. We wish you well on it, and
thank you
so much for your time.
Thank you.
And for coming up in person.
Yes.
Hey. That don't happen often on my community news. All right, Nashville, we're going to take a time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Dependable and knowledgeable agent, seeks customers looking for protection and long-term relationships. Look no further than Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Having one special person for your car, home, and life insurance lets you get down to business with the rest of your life. You can stop by the offices of Terry W. Jones at 545 Main Stream Drive, Suite 104 in Metro Center, or call 615-256-6066 or by email at myagent@terrywjones.net.
Crashes with injuries on 24 East in Bakertown between Briley and Haywood, on I-65 North toward Vietnam Vets, and on Clarksville Pike near the fire department. Briley also slowed by a wreck in White's Creek. I-24 East is clogged coming down Old Hickory Boulevard and going past 440. 65 North is slow through Metro. This traffic report is brought to you by ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Part 4, What's the 411, is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 care and cover kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com.
What I remember most is the loneliness I felt, the separation from other people. At the end, drinking was no fun for me. Since I've started to attend AA meetings, the greatest gift is that I've become reconnected. I'm part of life again. I really like myself, and that's wonderful. AA is a miracle in my life. Alcoholics Anonymous. It works. Look us up. Check your phone book, newspaper, or AA.org.
When you look in your own backyard, what do you see? Do you see hiking trails that lead to breathtaking mountaintop vistas? Or a concert in a vineyard? Find a new side of your own backyard with Discover Tennessee Trails and Byways at tnvacation.com. So, are you ready for a Made in Tennessee road trip? The soundtrack of America. Made in Tennessee.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Department of Tourist Development in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. And we're just chatting having the day. You know, sometimes it's like that. You know, I do talk for a living, so duh. Don't be surprised if I actually open my mouth. Anyway, it is a lovely Wednesday afternoon. The sun is shining, and it's cold. But, you know, we're happy to see some sunshine versus the rain and clouds and stuff that we have been seeing. Now, today, this hour, our book is Against Our Will, Sexual Trauma in American Art Since 1970. And this was, when I first got the book, I was like, oh, that's kind of heavy. That's deep. That is heavy, heavy book.
Heavy in content.
Yeah,
heavy in size.
Yes, yeah. I'm like, ooh. There's a lot here. But anyway, I have the author and expert in the room, so we are in good shape. Dr. Vivian Green-Fried is a professor of art history at Vanderbilt University and the author of Art and Empire, The Politics of Ethnicity in the United States Capitol, and the United States Capitol, rather, 1815 to 1860, and The Art and the Crisis of Marriage. Edward Hoover and Georgia O'Keeffe. Man, there is crisis and art. Oh, my. In marriage, I guess I'll never marry again. I mean, that's kind of scary right there. Wow. Now, is that the Georgia O'Keeffe of the...
It's the Georgia O'Keeffe who's
across
the
collection.
The street.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
In the Van Vechten
now,
Gallery.
Tell me a little bit about that crisis in the marriage thing. What was going on with that?
Well, I'm looking at the art of both George O'Keeffe and Edward Hopper within the context of what was called the marriage crisis in the period between the two world wars, when more women were entering the workforce, birth rates went down, there were more problems within a marriage, mm-hmm. and there was a movement away from marriage for having children mm-hmm. to the idea of a companionship marriage. And I'm showing how the debates over the marriage in American culture is also embodied in the art and lives of Georgia O'Keeffe and her husband, Alfred Stieglitz, and Edward Hopper and his wife, Joe.
So you're saying that, Dr. Fried, that in art as in music, we take these situations in our life and play them out?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
What is it about human beings that makes us do that?
That's such a good question. I think that creative people, mm-hmm. like musicians and artists, mm-hmm. are interested in coming to terms with issues in their own lives.
Mm-hmm.
And those issues often become concerns that a lot of people feel in American culture mm-hmm. or any other culture in any other country and time.
As I can vividly remember the 60s and 70s, all the music.
Yeah.
Because my field is music and yours is art. All the music was about how we felt or the times we were in. So you found connections in that, in art as well.
Yes.
And your expertise is in post-traumatic stress disorder. So you found this connection also in sexual violence?
Yes. So
wow.
My previous books don't have anything to do with PTSD. This book is dealing with PTSD.
Okay.
And I'm looking at the art from the 1970s to the present,
mm-hmm.
created primarily by women artists who are feminists, in which they joined the rape crisis movement of the 1970s mm-hmm. in order to end the silence
mm-hmm.
over sexual violence against the female body,
mm-hmm.
and in order to create performances or videos or other kinds of art in which the viewer becomes a witness, and it, by becoming a witness, it enters into public memory. And it's tied into trauma
mm-hmm.
because some of the characteristics of trauma, such as repetition compulsion, is manifest in the fact that the artists themselves repeated creating works of art. So that in my first chapter, I'm looking at performances by Suzanne Lacy, about seven of them, dealing with the subject of rape.
Mm-hmm.
My third chapter, I'm looking at Faith Ringgold, the African-American quilt artist who did 21 quilts dealing with the subject of rape in Africa when women were taken into slavery,
mm-hmm.
on the slave ship, on the plantation, and within African-American families.
Mm-hmm.
So that repetition, the artist compulsively repeating the subject, is a characteristic of trauma. And then I'm looking also at how particular works of art embody such characteristics,
uh-huh.
gaps, emptiness, wounds, the inability to figure things out clearly, ruptures. And I'm showing how the works of art, in terms of their compositions, convey some of those characteristics.
So, Dr. Fried, with, when you're viewing art and doing the work that you do, you can go to a gallery or somewhere or see art
yes.
in someone's house or whatever.
Yes.
And you can tell
there was some
kind of trauma, sexual trauma. Could have been.
No. That's an interesting question. I know that these artists are dealing with trauma
mm-hmm.
because of the subject of their art.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has suggested that their art deals specifically with trauma in the way that PTSD exists. So
right.
That's my connection.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So I am seeing the connection between the art by the artists in my book and trauma
uh-huh.
because of my studies in trauma theory
uh-huh.
and my studies of these particular artists. So that, for example, to return to Faith Ringgold.
Mm-hmm.
She did this incredible quilt that's called the Rape Quilt. And in this work of art, mm-hmm. she has both text and image. She creates a first-person fictional narrative about a character whose name is Beata. Mm. Beata has been born into slavery on a slave ship crossing the Atlantic. She tells us in this first-person narrative that when she was born on the slave ship, her mama jumped overboard, mm-hmm. and that he was raped by, quote, that drunken son of a bitch. Mm. She learns later that the, quote, drunken son of a bitch mm-hmm. is, in fact, her father. Mm. And her father also rapes her, and she gives birth to a child on the plantation in South Carolina. So that's a trauma in and of itself, and it is trauma that, unfortunately, was experienced by many slaves and is written in many slave narratives published in the 19th century. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm showing how that narrative, which is a fictional narrative by Faith Ringgold, embodies ruptures, gaps, fear in her testimony, mm-hmm. but then I'm tying it into the visual imagery in that quilt mm-hmm. and how some of those same characteristics are manifest in the quilt.
Mm. I'm so glad you showed the visuals in here. So people that are listening understand that she shows you the art so you get it clearly.
Right.
You understand and say, okay.
Yes.
Because some of these are, I don't know if I would understand them if you didn't explain it the way you do.
Right. That's the case with a lot of art. Mm-hmm. And you might say that's the case with music. For example, if you think of a Northern Renaissance paintings that people love so much, mm-hmm. and they're so beautiful and so detailed. Well, we know that a dog, for example, could be a symbol of fidelity. But somebody looking at the painting who doesn't know that would just say, oh, I see this incredible, beautiful dog,
yeah.
and it's so detailed. So just like any other subject, if you have knowledge, then you apply that knowledge to the image when you see it.
So as I'm looking, I went to the section that you first mentioned, Suzanne Lacy and
yes.
Leslie Levitz. Some of these are just really something. Okay.
Well, they're really something, and they're really something not only in terms of visually
yes.
and in terms of the content, but think about this, Sharon. They created works of art dealing with the subject of rape
yeah.
before Susan Brownmiller wrote her book that many of us in our generation know, Against Our Will.
Yeah.
That was published in 1975. It was a groundbreaking book. These artists began their performances in 1971, 1972. They predate Susan Brownmiller. Then they joined Susan Brownmiller and other feminists uh-huh. in the 1970s to create the Rape Crisis Movement. And that is the first time that women talked about being raped.
Yeah.
It came out of consciousness-raising groups. I don't know if you were in one, but I definitely was in one mm-hmm. back in the 1970s, mm-hmm. where we talked with one another and we learned, oh, my God, you mean I'm not the only one who had a troubled relationship with her dad?
Yeah.
I'm not the only one who is having problems with binge eating.
Yeah.
I'm not the only one who's feeling depressed. I'm not the only one who wonders whether or not I'll meet the man of my dreams. I mean, all of these issues that were never discussed by our mothers,
yes.
we talked about.
Yeah.
And in these consciousness-raising groups and these discussions, it was discovered that many women experienced rape.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the 1970s, beginning of the 1980s, women also in Los Angeles, because Suzanne Lacy and Levy, mm-hmm. these other artists connected with the Women's Building through consciousness-raising, learned that many of them experienced incest.
Mm.
Another verboten subject, mm-hmm. taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody talked about rape prior to the 1970s. About prior.
Right. It's a big... Lex, I know this was some.
Yes.
Your book is The Art Since 1970. But you're saying it now.
Oh, yes. I don't know if you read the New York Times article about Emma Sulkowitz. She's known as the mattress girl.
Mm.
She's the student at Columbia University who had claimed a fellow student had raped her, and Columbia University found the man to be innocent. This was in just a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
She created a performance over the entire 9 months of the semester in which she carried the mattress all over campus and to other locations. This is a repetition of what was happening in the 1970s.
Wow.
Emma is doing the same exact thing recently in order to protest the fact that she was raped.
Yeah.
And because of social media, not only did women on the Columbia University campus, but on other campuses, learned about this, and they also joined her in carrying the mattresses.
Wow.
So it becomes a form, it's a work of art, but it's also a protest at the same time.
Yeah. So, and I guess that would be me too as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, can we talk about that on the other side?
Absolutely.
Okay, it's just a lot, but definitely interesting discussion. Our book this afternoon is Against Our Will, Sexual Trauma in American Art Since 1970. We're happy to have in the studio with us today Dr. Vivian Green-Fried, and she is, among other things, a professor of art history at Vanderbilt. So we're happy to have you here from the Vanderbilt campus.
Just down the street.
I know.
Literally,
it. Isn't that convenient?
I know.
She's the author of several books, and we are talking about her latest. If you have a question or comment, our number is 615-329-8810. Let's take a time out, and we'll be right back.
Listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including 10 care and cover kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com.
Crashes with injuries on 24 East in Bakertown between Briley and Haywood, on I-65 North toward Vietnam Vets, and on Clarksville Pike near the fire department. Briley also slowed by a wreck in White's Creek. I-24 East is clogged coming down Old Hickory Boulevard and going past 440. 65 North is slow through Metro. This traffic report is brought to you by ICUSecurityInc.com. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Hey everybody, Bobby Jones here, reminding you to join me and this week's co-host Hezekiah Walker for the most popular gospel countdown in the country. That's right, we'll be counting them down, 20 of the hottest hits in gospel. We'll also bring you some brand new music from Jacqueline Carr's label mate, Praise Peterson, and put the spotlight on Vashawn Mitchell. You don't want to miss it, it's always a good time. The Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown, the number one gospel countdown in the country. And you can catch my gospel show, the Bobby Jones Gospel Countdown, every Sunday from 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right here on Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810. 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
Alrighty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And I mentioned earlier that I were just going to give you a quick glance at the weather tonight so you know how to dress. It's going to be cold. So just like it was today. 25 for tonight. No mention of rain, though, till tomorrow evening. And but we will see sun again for tomorrow. And 51. So it's just getting a little touch warmer, a little touch. And then this weekend, of course, daylight saving time. And then we say let that be the official start of spring. Let's let it happen right then and there. And then, you know, we can relax these winter coats. Relax these things.
And sweaters.
Yes, absolutely. Change up, change up. Anyway, our book this hour is Against Our Will, Sexual Trauma in American Art Since 1970. And Vanderbilt professor, Dr. Vivian Green Freed, is a professor of art history and a PTSD scholar. And we have been discussing her book. And it is just quite interesting. During the break, you know, I said when we come back, we're going to talk about such and such, but I would have to throw some other stuff in. But I want to start with what I ask you about. Do you address or have any thoughts on, as movements relate and behavior tied to Me Too? And all of a sudden, it was, everybody was Me Too, it seemed like. But before that, no one was believed, you know, right. For so many years and so long, there was no...
They're still not necessarily believed. I can just refer you to Christine Blasey Ford.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So what I argue is that my book is showing that the Me Too movement is not new.
Hmm.
The Me Too movement is, in fact, a culmination of what began in the 1970s with the artists I discuss, and that the subject of the anti-rape, anti-incest cycle that began in the 1970s continued to the present.
Hmm.
The Me Too movement is a culmination of it.
Okay. So there is nothing new under the sun.
There's
basically
nothing new under the sun. What is different is because of social media, it's getting a whole lot more attention.
It is.
And the other thing is that famous people are speaking out. That's not new. Already in the 1980s, people spoke out about having experienced incest or having had experienced rape. But because of social media, it gets spread so quickly. Oprah Winfrey is an example who's talked about her incest. It's not new. She had incest survivors come on her show. That's not new. But so many people began to speak out about Harvey Weinstein, about Larry Nassar, the USA gymnast doctor, about Bill Cosby, and Michael Jackson, the list goes on. Because so many famous women and men were making accusations against equally famous men, mostly men. And because of social media, it captured a lot of attention. On the first day that the Me Too movement began, I forgot the statistics, but it's in my book, in terms of on Facebook, there was a post, if you are a survivor of any kind of sexual trauma, indicate that you are. And the numbers within one day were unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's because we've got Facebook where we can all connect with one another in ways that we couldn't before.
Right. And is at the end of the day, it really is just about the connection, isn't it?
It is the connection. It is about speaking out, ending the silence. These artists said, we need to end the silence.
Well, people need to feel that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
This is, I'm not the only one this has ever happened to.
Absolutely. That's so important for anybody who has experienced any kind of trauma.
Yeah.
For you to learn, that's about being a witness to a trauma. If you keep it to yourself, then the pain is inside, and you're even questioning your own sanity. But if you speak it to a somebody who listens, a therapist, or by way of a work of art, a viewer, then you are no longer alone, but other people become aware of it. And some of the things I talk about is how viewers of these works of art are triggered in terms of their own memories.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these artists were so aware of this in the 1970s, beginning of the 1980s, that they had therapists present during exhibitions in case somebody was triggered in order to be able to have an opportunity to talk about it. Therapy about sexual trauma didn't really begin until the 1970s and 1980s. It's so new at that time.
Because no one talked about it.
Nobody talked about it. It's really therapists. Well, of course, there's Sigmund Freud. He's the first person who talked about it.
Right.
And he was saying, I'm hearing this in my patients. Because there was such brouhaha about it, he changed his trauma theory into the Oedipal complex.
Mm.
And it's only at the end of the First World War that he heard veterans saying the same things in terms of what the women were telling him about sexual trauma, that he returned to the concept of trauma. But it's therapists who, listening to people, began to realize there's something going on here, and that didn't happen again until the 1970s.
Now, during the break, you and I were saying, I was asking you about the Catholic Church, sex abuse. You cover that in your book?
Absolutely. It's what I'm doing in my introduction is setting the stage for what's happening right now. You've got the Catholic Church abuse. You have the recent documentary about Michael Jackson.
Right.
You have, as I mentioned, Bill Cosby. You have Larry Nassar, the doctor, the gymnast doctor.
Right.
You have Harvey Weinstein, etc. All of this is addressed in my book. I'm even quoting our president and what he had to say about grabbing women. I have the exact quote in my book.
Do you? Where?
Let's see.
See, that's, I didn't know that was in here.
It is in here. I don't know that you want me to read it out loud. And isn't that interesting and sad that I don't even want to quote what the president says on
air? It's pathetic. It's worse than sad. It's,
right.
You know, it's terrible.
I know. So, for example, I begin with my historical context talking about the candidate for the U.S. Senate from Missouri, Todd Akin. You might remember in 2012 that he said, quote, if it's legitimate rape, the female body has a way to shut that whole thing down.
Yeah, that's true.
Please help me.
That was one of the dumbest.
Please help me.
Yeah.
I know. That's the beginning of my talking about how over and over and over again the issue was addressed in popular culture. You have the movie of the Invisible War of 2012, the documentary about sexual assault in the military. You have The Hunting Ground talking about sexual assault on college campuses. You have sexual abuse by faculty members in male and female private elite high schools. You have the media storms with the Roman Catholic Church, with Penn State Jerry Sandusky, with the Vatican's code of silence. The list goes on and on and on and on. And I talk about all of the people, Cosby and Ashley Judd's claims, she's in my book. Kevin Spacey is in my book. Roy Moore is in my book. Senator Al Franken is in my book. The list goes on and on and on.
Man.
And here on page 13, President Donald J. Trump designated both April 2017 and April 2018 as National Sexual Assault Awareness and Prevention Months, advocating, and I quote, women, children, and men have inherent dignity that should never be violated, close quote, and suggesting that he supported the Obama administration's efforts to champion sexual assault prevention. Yet, Trump famously has been accused by nearly 15 women of perpetrating sexual assault and harassment, and indeed has evaded accountability. And then I give the exact quote of what he said on the Access Hollywood tape, which I will not repeat here because it contains words that I don't think we should have on the air. And that is so sad. Isn't it sad that I'm saying to you that I have something in my book that the President of the United States has said, and I don't want to quote him?
Right. That goes to show how our country has changed, that you can't even quote him at all.
Right.
That's sad.
This is my fantasy, that maybe somebody at Fox News is hearing my interview and then tells President Trump and he'll tweet about me.
Well, I guess that is, I guess, because he's got 60 million angry people, too, I mean, right. Depends on how you look at it.
Right. All of this to bring us to the Me Too movement, and then my comment that we all think that this is new, but in fact, it all began with the feminist movement of the 1970s.
Wow.
And then it continued over and over and over again in art from then to the present.
Now, are there things that we can see if we go into some of the galleries here in this city?
That's a great question, Sharon. I haven't seen any art that addresses it. However, you may not remember, you might remember, that Judy Chicago taught at Vanderbilt University for a semester. And she's the famous feminist artist from the 1970s who did the dinner party. I think some of your listeners might know about that work or Woman House. But anyway, she taught at Vanderbilt University with her husband, Donald Woodman, and actually with myself. The artist turned a building on the Peabody campus into art installations. And I included in my book two artists, and this is not that long ago, about 10 years ago, one of whom did an amazing installation addressing a serial rapist, the Love Circle serial rapist. She was raped by that man, and she did an installation dealing with that. And then there was another female student who did six incredible paintings dealing with the rape she experienced three times, once in high school, once in Europe, and once in college.
There's a lot of trauma.
There's a lot of trauma.
Generating decades and hundreds of years of it. Now, in the couple of minutes, I want to ask you about Faith Ringwald's work. She does a lot with, I guess it's, you mentioned earlier, the Slave Rape series.
The Slave Rape series, in which she did 16 or 17 quilts. I'm forgetting exactly the number. It's 16.
Yeah.
And what she said is, she wanted to imagine, she made the comment, everybody knows the slave man story.
Right.
But no one's talked about the slave woman story.
Exactly.
And she wanted to imagine what it was like when women were taken captive in Africa. She also said that she wanted to remember what it was like for her great-grandmother who had been raped on the plantation. And so she created 16 quilts in the Slave Rape series, imagining women being taken captive in Africa, some of whom are pregnant. The title of the work is suggesting us because they've been raped. Then she did the Slave Rape story quilts that I referred to earlier about Beata. And then a lot of your listeners would know about The Color Purple. She, in 1986, did a quilt inspired by Alice Walker's novel, The Color Purple. All of these quilts combined together to be the cycle and recycling of what I refer to as transgenerational trauma. And that is, you've got Beata, who's born into slavery by her mother, who's raped on the slave ship. She herself is raped on the plantation. It gets carried down generations. And we know that trauma is embedded literally in your body, in your brain, and in your muscles. We know that from science, scientific evidence. So for anybody who's a descendant of slaves, my mother is a Holocaust survivor.
Mm.
For anybody who's a descendant for somebody who experienced such traumas as the Holocaust of slavery,
yeah,
it's embedded in us,
yeah,
even though we didn't experience it directly.
Wow. And because of that embed in us, some traumas, culturally, we may never get over.
Some traumas culturally we may never get over. And one of the things I talk about in my classes is the fact that I talk about the art in the U.S. Capitol building, in which nobody allowed a reference to slavery until the Emancipation Proclamation, because the person who was in charge of the works of art in the U.S. Capitol Extension was Jefferson Davis.
Wow.
Need I tell you any more?
Right, right.
But works of art that were problematic, first of all, he wouldn't allow anything having to do slavery created for the U.S. Capitol building.
Wow.
But problematic images having to do with Native Americans,
mm-hmm,
indigenous peoples,
yes,
have been removed because we pretend our history doesn't matter. And what I tell my students is, the Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C., is our first federal public reckoning,
right,
with slavery.
It's a must-see.
It's a must-see.
And in saying that, I know I'm out of time, but I simply must know that is with these statues of these Confederate generals and all,
mm-hmm,
that, these works,
mm-hmm,
of art that, mm-hmm, these folks all over the country are so in love with.
Right.
What do you feel about that?
I have been interviewed about this, in fact, before. This is my feeling.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we have to understand the history and that these Confederate monuments were not done after the Civil War.
Mm.
They were done during the Jim Crow era.
Right.
At the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, when so many lynchings were occurring,
mm-hmm,
in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, they are really, really problematic. But do we erase history and pretend it didn't happen?
Mm-hmm.
Or do we keep the statue and maybe put it in a different location,
mm-hmm,
along with signage to explain the history of it?
Right.
And the same thing applies with these works in my book,
yeah,
that are really, really problematic. Do we pretend that these works of art don't exist?
Right.
That these troubling subjects don't exist?
Right.
Or do we acknowledge them?
Mm-hmm. Acknowledge that they do. Wow. This was something. Thank you. I never would have, you know, I should have asked you your opinion when that story first came out.
About the Confederate statues.
I got your number.
You have my number. Yes.
That's good. I need an expert on that.
Yeah.
That is one. Thank you. Thank you so much. Vivian Green Freed is a Vanderbilt Professor of Art History and PTSD scholar. And we are happy to have spent this time with her,
yes,
discussing her brand new book,
yes,
Against Our Will.
Thank you for your work.
Yes.
It'll bring so much
Thank you.
I was just listening. I was just sitting here going, wow.
Yes.
Thank
wow.
you.
Deep.
Thank you. I'm actually, tears are coming to my eyes.
Oh.
Because this was a long time in coming, and
it was initially rejected. Really?
And I feel so happy that it finally came
out. Oh, my goodness.
Sharon, thank you so
Absolutely.
Much for your time. And thank you for your interview, your very understanding interview, and also our humor, our laughing, because it's a hard topic.
It is. But and I was trying to tell myself that as I went into this, because the hour before the doctor was on the brain, and I was asking specific to, because I know we're going to cross into this area here, so that there were some of the questions I asked Kim were on purpose, because I was hoping you were in the green room listening at the time. But thank you so much.
I was listening to the whole interview in
the
green room.
Great.
That's why you said about grandma.
Yeah.
Would a student ever refer to a male professor as grandpa? And the answer is no.
Right. Never. Anyway, I appreciate you so much. And when we go to topic like this again, you're close expert
down
right
the
down the street. and didn't even know you were there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sharon. You're
welcome.
I really appreciate
you
it.
Are welcome. And I will remind the audience that, as always, I put the covers, the book covers, on the 411show.com website, and the interview goes up on podcast probably tomorrow. So, Nashville, we thank you so much. You all have the very best of the best. And don't forget who loves you.
You've been listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station and its management.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.